folks out there. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. Today, they're going to talk about Lyme disease some more, and they're going to do movie reviews about Spider-Man, and supposedly, they have a story about me, Starman Norman. So, I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And you're Christine, I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie.
And here we are.
We're still here.
We're still here.
We're still crazy after all these years.
Yeah, week two of daily antibiotics for my Lyme disease.
Julie has her Lyme disease update.
Yes, I do. It's going to be a fun show today. I feel a little bit better.
I'm glad.
Yay. Parents aren't as scared. Still, I'm being watched very closely by everyone. It's a little annoying. But here we are.
Yeah, you can't even have a mistake.
No, I really can't. And no. I'm just blaming it. I used to blame it on being kind of blonde. Now I'm just blaming it on my Lyme disease. Oh, brain fog, Lyme disease fog.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the reason why. So anyway, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter. We're coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm getting my master's. Almost complete. I think within 6 months.
Oh,
I should be
come on! You're gonna be done in a few months.
And we're gonna talk today, just a lot of fun stuff. And I've got a movie review, yay! And just have a good time. But here we are at Lyme disease update.
It sounds like an SNL skit, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Well, it was interesting because this week I went to see my eye doctor, my ophthalmologist, and. In some ways, my eye problems were the thing that set off my Lyme disease.
Right.
Because
I mean, for us to be watching, thinking that this isn't just the flu or something.
Right. Because previously, mm-hmm. I just had a fever and severe muscle aches.
Body aches.
But then I had tinnitus. My optic nerve was swollen.
Oh, neuritis.
Neuritis. Thank you. Not tinnitus. That was ringing in. I'm going to call it, brain fog from Lyme disease, which I've been having a lot lately. But anyway, I went to my ophthalmologist to get retested because...
to see where you were.
To have a real strong baseline because the ophthalmologist, when I went in there about 2 weeks ago...
Has it only been 2 weeks?
Two or 3 weeks. Yeah, two weeks. It feels like it's been happening a lifetime ago. Well, because June I was sick.
Yeah,
I was sick all of June.
Yeah.
And July 1st is basically when I got diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Right.
And I was so grateful that I was like, thank God, something.
That's so funny because you have these moments, right?
Yeah.
And we're in the emergency room and he walks in, the ER doc, and... says, you know, your spinal test tap shows meningitis and Lyme disease from the blood test. And we went,
yay.
Praise God.
Like,
and he was like,
this is not good.
This isn't good news, people.
Yeah.
It's like,
yes, it
but
is.
For us, it was like something tangible.
Something tangible to
something
hold
that
on
said,
to.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
I really am sick.
I really am sick. People believe me.
Yeah.
I don't have just the cold or the flu.
Right.
And I was just grateful for some diagnosis because I wasn't being treated during this time.
No.
When I was
they would not treat you because they did not have a diagnosis.
Right. So they don't know how to treat you. So you're just, you're in this
limbo
of feeling so sick, but not so, so sick that it warrants another emergency room visit because they said we can't do anything until we have the MRI. And then the MRI led to the spinal tap. And during that 24 hours... my results came back for Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they send it off away, the Lyme disease test, mm-hmm. and then you come back. And thank God I had a picture of a bug bite on me. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God I said I had a bug bite. Mm-hmm. Here's what it looked like. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll do a Lyme test.
Thank God you had the wherewithal to take a picture of that.
I know. Well, because I remember getting a bug bite, and I know it's supposed to be a tick, but I don't remember a tick at all.
Yeah.
And ticks don't hurt, typically.
Mm-mm,
you know,
you
I've been bit by ticks before.
Right.
But one of the side notes of all this that's been annoying me the most is that my torso is numb.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, my back's numb and my chest is numb. Now, for months, I have been saying my back's been numb.
Mm-hmm.
For months.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I've had Lyme disease for a long time. And there's a condition called... I don't know. It's a big word, but it's when the bacteria dies off,
right?
And when the bacteria dies off, all the symptoms flare up, mm-hmm. as in like their death throes, mm-hmm. you know, like we're not going to give up this easy, you know,
right.
One last message of like, ah,
hurrah.
Yeah, hurrah. And I wonder if that's what June was about for me.
Right.
This last, you know, I had had it for a long time, mm-hmm. but then, you know, I got all these mm-hmm. weird symptoms and so forth.
Yeah, that is interesting because your SED rate, which is a rate of inflammation,
yes,
is and it's typically 20 and under, and yours was just 22.
Everything doesn't seem. Well, that was a problem. My blood work that could be done in house in lab was, I think. They said, "Oh, not very impressive. Unremarkable. Unremarkable." Mm-hmm. Meaning they had no idea.
Right.
You know, you get a little, you know, nothing is screaming at us that says you're really, really sick. Mm-hmm. Nor did my MRI say, you're really, really sick.
Yeah, the neurologist said, "Well, I'm surprised how clean your MRI is, except we see this pressure."
Right. And you could have a phantom tumor. And that's when that led to the spinal tap. And
right.
then it was funny because when I went to the emergency room for the spinal tap, the doctor's like, and this is how it had to get done. I had to go to the emergency room to get a spinal tap because they could do it. Otherwise, I had to go to Rockford to have it done. And, mm-hmm. and it was just this big ordeal. And I'm like, mm-hmm. and I go, well, I have to have this done, don't I? And he goes, no, you don't have to have it done. I don't think there's any reason for you to have a spinal tap.
The emergency room doc said that?
He said that because I think you're
after
not.
They told you that go get one?
The neurologist said I need to have a spinal tap.
Right.
Because I think the neurologist is not correct here.
OMG, I did
I'm
not
like,
know this.
Okay, and I go, well, let's just try, I said. I go, let's just do it. I'm not, you know, mostly because I'm so sick at this point that I'm willing to take any diagnostic test given to me just to have more information.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, as soon as he tapped me and got me, he said, well, I think he was right because we got a high pressure on you, whatever that meant. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that was read mm-hmm. And so forth. And we did it, and we got it done. And it was weird because he, you know, he tells you the consequences or all the side effects of what could happen or whatever. And I'm like, but this is done frequently enough that, you know, it has to be done. But he did it me stand, you know, like I'm sitting up. Okay, but when you release the fluid, you have to be lying down on your side.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the scary part for me. Once they got me going, like, okay, we got some. Now, okay, ladies, you move her legs this way and you come down and let's not try and move her back that much as I go on my side. I'm like, oh, this is weird. So it's just complete surrender to that process. Mm-hmm. But as I was, you know, when I was sick, and people are like, oh, not more Lyme disease. I tell you what, when you're in the process of this, it is all-encompassing your Lyme disease, you know? But I remember seeing my ophthalmologist this week to get another baseline reading for my eye because I'm not getting better with my eyes.
Right.
And she says, well, I do see inflammation on both optic nerves, which makes sense because, you know, why would it attack one nerve eye, not the other eye? But I think it's time to refer you just to another specialist. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes.
And this specialist is not here local. It's like 2 hours away in Peoria, Illinois.
Well, it's so interesting because if you don't know where Peoria is at, it's kind of like mid Illinois. But what's interesting about Peoria is that it is Caterpillar Company.
Caterpillar Land.
And part of the main big offices, big news, is moving to near Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago.
Right.
So they're talking about, oh, what's coming to Peoria now? That, you know, 1,000 jobs are leaving because they're moving to Deer something up near Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally just heard like 3 days ago that Peoria has been for the last 10-15 years been building this huge medical center.
Because they've known for a long time.
Well, to be reliant on one area.
One industry, which is Caterpillar.
Yeah, is pretty
well,
difficult.
Even when we used to live in southern Illinois, in Litchfield, there were many, many people that would work in Peoria. And they'd
Caterpillar.
Stay, yeah, from at Caterpillar, and they'd stay there during the week,
yeah,
and just come home on weekends because it was a way to get a union job,
right? It was a good job.
You could support your family.
Yeah, how nice is that, right? So that felt good, and so here I am. I gotta wait for that week this week to get my other test.
Yeah,
but it's just so funny how like second week down of daily IVs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sleeping more, which is a great thing.
Yes.
My nerves are waking up, I think, in my torso, because sometimes I'll just experience real lightning pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm just calling it, my nerves are waking up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. And you attempted to go to the movies last night, and you'll have a movie review.
Yeah.
But you said, it was, I'm not ready for this yet.
It was too much.
It was too much.
It was over 2 hours long, and it was I didn't want to see a serious movie, but I don't even know if there are serious movies out there, but I saw a fun movie last night, and well, it was Spider-Man, so I'll talk about that during movie reviews. And it was just too much, and mm-hmm. I was surprised mm-hmm. that literally I still am not recovered from this.
No.
And
to expect anything other than that is silly, not just on not on your part, but other people, because I understand you may not look sick.
Right. I got a haircut.
You
feel pretty.
Darling, yeah.
But I take a shower,
go,
put
come
nice clothes on.
Yeah, you just go out and do something.
Yeah.
Well, no, really still are you know, still in the throes of this.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's just difficult.
And I'm going to protect you from all the
sure
outside
you are.
World.
For sure. You do your best, right? You do your best. Yeah, you've gotten me in trouble a couple times.
Yes, I have.
But anyway. So you got me in trouble because I don't even know if I want to talk about it. I mean, I don't know what to say about it, really.
Oh, you can say.
Well, because I'm not even sure if I know how to set it up.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
I just wrote a check that
I had to cash.
You had to cash.
Right. I was with Doug, and I was going to out last weekend to meet his daughter's kind of in-laws, you know, maybe in-laws in the future. But I know they were going to be
Joey's mama.
Yeah.
And her four children.
Yes. And I know they were going to be there. And so consequently, I was very surprised. And so when I told you and you were on speakerphone, you had some choice words to say.
Well, it wasn't just that you were surprised that they were there. Mm-hmm. They told you to meet them at a certain place, and you had just gotten your IV treatment.
Right.
So you weren't feeling great. You're tired after that. You drive to this restaurant. There's nobody there. So I imagine you wait, and then you call, and, oh, yeah, just come on over here because our plans have changed, but not informed you.
Right.
And you tell me this
right
on the phone, and you go, oh, by the way, Mom, you're on speakerphone. And I said, in my mind, I went, great.
Yes.
Because you know what, Julie? That is just plain rude.
Yes,
yeah, so
and for the next 10, for the next minute and a half, you go off on Doug, and I'm just like, and I at this point, I'm so sick, I don't care.
No,
I just don't care,
and I don't care because
you don't care either.
I'm all I care about is
I hang up, and then I have
and
to
I've
hear
just
from
through,
Doug,
like,
and I go, I don't care either. Luckily, at this point, both of you two, I could care less about because I'm too sick to worry about, and I knew this had to go down. I knew that my mom needed to say what she needed to say. Doug needed to hear what she needed to hear. And at this point, my defenses were down. And I'm like, you know, and I just basically said, get over it. I told him, I go, listen, after he wanted to fight with me about this. And
see, would I fight with you? No.
What do you mean? You fought with me.
I did?
Well, no, you weren't fighting with Doug. You fought with me.
I did?
You were venting at me about Doug.
Oh, I see what you're saying. During that conversation.
Yes, you were talking to Doug.
Right.
He was
correct.
Yeah.
He was a bystander.
Yeah, he was a bystander. And so, and luckily my defenses were down and I just didn't care. I'm like, I know how this is going to play out. It's going to be fine. And in 24 hours, no one's going to give a shit. It's going to be over. I don't care. And it all worked out. it worked out because I just know what, you know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing will happen.
Well, I just felt like at that moment, this was, you know, look, I've seen you just slowly progress and be better each
day.
But at that point, you had just gotten out of the hospital on Sunday.
Right.
And this was Tuesday.
Right.
And I was very, very, very still concerned.
Of course you were.
About you.
Of course you were.
And the fact that you had gone through this treatment Right. And then went to the restaurant.
Well, and Mom, the truth is, I could have turned you off speaker. I didn't have to have taught this conversation. I'm driving, and I'm like, Doug's in the car, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, really, at that moment, I could have cared less about how this was going to go down, because I couldn't care, you know? I knew that you need to say what you need to say. You knew you were on speakerphone, you know? So I'm just like, I'm letting this happen.
But all I really said, though, honestly, was... It was rude.
It was rude.
It was just rude.
Right.
And I don't know how harsh that is.
No, it wasn't harsh at all.
Yeah, I mean, unless somebody has, like, very tender feelings that are extremely fragile.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It had more to do with the fact, like, when we hung up, like, why'd you tell your mom anything that was going on? I go, well, because I live with her, why not tell her? There's no big deal. I don't need to keep, there's not like this is a secret. I mean, what's the fucking big deal? There's no secret here, you know? And I just, at that moment, I just felt like I don't need to please anybody.
Like, I just, well, you were totally right about that.
I don't need to, this is just how it's all going down. Mm-hmm. And so.
But it was interesting, though, because was Doug still talking about it at the restaurant? Because,
no.
Because Joey's briefly, mom said to you.
Well, we came in.
Well, what would have changed if you had known that I was here?
Yes.
It was some kind of an interesting...
I was not odd. Take, and I'm glad I had a little bit of my brain power left to come up with that question.
Yeah.
And I said, I would have worn makeup, I said, because Joey and Quinn already know what I look like.
Yeah.
I probably would have dressed a little bit, but nicer.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, you look pretty. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I'm like, you know, that was appropriate. But it was funny because when we got to the restaurant, they had all sat down first. And because Doug and I were talking in the front car. And he does what he always does, which is says extreme things. Like, well, I'll never invite anything again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if that's how you want to play it at this moment while I have Lyme disease, you do what you do.
And meningitis.
And meningitis. Then you do what you need to do. I go, but at this moment, we've got your daughter's family waiting for us.
Mm-hmm.
So just fucking shut up and let's get this done. That's all I said. Because I'm just like, I'm at this point, I'm done. You know, it's like, it's not about anything right now except, you know, meeting these people for the first time,
mm-hmm.
putting on good face, being kind, being nice.
Right.
And I walk in and everybody's around the table and they've sat two seats and it's me and
Quinn.
So it's Joey. And then two empty seats and Quinn. So, which is very odd because their family's on the other side of the table. And the first thing I said was, I sit down, I go, Joey, I got to sit by your mom. I go, I'm not here. I just kind of talk to your mom. I'm not here to talk to you.
Right.
So we switched. And that made it nicer.
Yeah.
You know. And then through the conversation, Doug, about 20 minutes in, said, oh, Julie's a little upset with me because I didn't inform her that you guys were all going to be here. It was a surprise to her. And Quinn goes, oh, so I didn't tell you that we're coming. And the truth be known, I don't believe they did,
mm-hmm.
but they have a way of saying stuff and then never mentioning it again.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time,
well, it's
kind of
like
sick.
To me, I consider that like a drive-by shooting.
Right, of course. Right.
That's what I consider.
Uh-huh.
You know, because God forbid that you stop, shoot, and let somebody take aim back at you.
Right.
It's just, I stop real quick, I shoot, and then I leave.
I leave, exactly.
Yeah. I think it's passive-aggressive 100% behavior.
100% it's passive-aggressive.
And I wasn't in any mood that day.
Of course you weren't. And you had every right to not be in a mood. That's why I said I go in some ways, bringing it up makes it like worth more than really what it was.
Exactly.
And the reason why I'm sharing it is because it's just kind of a funny tidbit. Because the truth be known, after that situation, everything was back to normal.
And you got invited again to some other things.
Right. Which makes sure you tell me that I thought you were ever going to be invited again.
I did say that.
I know.
And he said, well, I don't remember that.
And then yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And here is the thing. I believe, because we're close, I just tell you everything.
Well, no, it's just, I really I appreciate that in some sense.
Well, because I don't want to have a flat relationship with you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we don't have that type of relationship where like, hey, I see you maybe like every 6 or 7 weeks and we go out for lunch and we're like, we love each other because we're mom and we don't have that relationship.
No.
We have a very deep, intimate relationship.
We're down in the trenches.
And guess what? You get to be mad and it means nothing. It means nothing in the sense of,
yeah.
Guess what? It'll be mad. You're allowed to be mad, and then it's over, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean anything. Like sometimes you're mad, and I go, okay, I will take note of this. Maybe something I need to look at.
Oh yeah. But
other times,
mostly I'm just irritated.
Yes, you get to yeah. be irritated.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
And I think in a healthy relationship,
yeah.
people get to be irritated, yeah. and knowing that it isn't going to last more than 20 yeah. minutes.
And really, it just felt like. I had, you know that I had been through the mill with you.
Of course, I understand that
last week.
Right, because that last week
I
wasn't sleeping.
And I didn't still feel like that you had really come out on the other side
right.
of this.
Well,
I didn't really know.
And I do know that during that last week when I, before the MRI, before the real, real prognosis and diagnosis,
right.
you know, the doctors had said, we can't treat you yet and don't come back to the emergency room. When shall I come back to the emergency room?
Right.
Well, we've got you set for these tests, and don't come back until maybe your fever spikes or your vision gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say you're not sleeping or you have big body aches. You know, all mm-hmm. the other things that were going on, they didn't mm-hmm. say because they couldn't treat me.
No, because they weren't here when you're just moaning.
Right.
And not able to sit, stand. You're continually yeah. pacing and just moaning.
Well,
and
that's why it was so hard for my
family. And watching you over-medicate. You know,
yeah,
to
the
get
last
any,
two or three days I was over medicating.
But it was harsh to witness that for you.
I know it was, Mom.
And then to hear him just ignore the fact that, oh, your time is, you know, you're just getting out of treatment. They
right.
make you go to a restaurant. Don't bother to tell you that they're not going to show
know.
Up.
I know.
I'm just trying to defend myself. That's
you
all.
You don't have to defend yourself because it was totally...
And I just lost it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It was yeah. totally legit.
Yeah, and
totally
I'm not sure
legit.
How I would have responded if I did not know that I was on speakerphone, because part of
you would have discussed it. If I said you'd have discussed it another way. You wouldn't have held back on me.
I hope not.
No,
but
you
knowing
wouldn't have.
That
I know
he was listening,
have.
You know,
it was better.
It was much. Yeah, it was easier,
cleaner.
To say.
Yeah. Well, but see, that's the thing. I think that. I think when, you know, you have these relationships that are deep and you guys, we know each other so well that we're allowed to just kind of let off steam
mm-hmm.
and then knowing that it doesn't mean anything.
I agree with you. I've been with people
where like they get so effing offended by someone speaking their
right.
truth at that moment.
Right.
And I guess maybe because I was raised by a psychotherapist, for the most part, I know that your truth is your truth at that moment.
Right.
You don't have all the information, you know, things mm-hmm. go in and then it's like, it has to be over
mm-hmm.
because we live in an interdependent world and, you know, mm-hmm. we're co-creating everywhere we go and, which is kind of gross, but, yeah. but it is, yeah, it is just kind of, is
what she
doing
over there? Oh, co-creating.
She's co-creating. She's sending out good signals for people to use. You know, so.
I think you're touching on something that is true, is actually true, that, you know, with somebody else maybe, or a different relationship, you might be afraid to like, oh, I said my truth. Now, is there going to be a penalty for
yeah.
this?
Right.
Am I going to never, like we were just talking about my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember, and I was relaying a story that when I was a kid, my aunt bought me a dress.
Right.
And it was full price, you know, which was unheard of,
right?
Not on sale, you know. And my aunt was so proud of the fact that she bought me a dress, and it was really beautiful. And my mom didn't talk to her for over a year because Aunt Roseanne bought me a red dress, and my mom was insulted because you never buy a redhead a red piece of clothing,
right?
That was her
thing.
And my Aunt Roseanne should have known that, you
right.
know? And they didn't speak for a year. And then you told me that when my mom bought you a coat, she felt that, this was like you were in grade school.
I was high school.
She felt that you had not really thanked her enough
yeah.
for it. And it was used, by the way, wasn't it?
I don't know. It was on sale for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know how long she didn't speak to you after that.
Right. It was a long, long time.
Yeah. But I was, I knew from, you know, our relationship that I did not have to pay a price like that.
No, of course not.
For stating my...
That's exactly right.
My truth.
That's exactly right. You don't have to... I mean, that is the most beautiful thing about being in a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean...
I agree with you.
Same thing for Doug. I mean, I think you and Dad, but specifically you, I know that our relationship is never on the cutting block.
Right.
And because of that, our relationship is 95% fantastic.
Yeah.
Probably 99% fantastic.
I agree.
And, then there's that 1% that... We have disappointments and we know it. And, mm-hmm. But how in the world can you have an intimate relationship, whether it's with, you know, your mom or your sister, mm-hmm. or, you know, your husband or whatever, mm-hmm. and not be like, let them see all of you.
Right.
And gratefully, you're not all that.
No.
You're not on my case all the time, you mm-hmm. know, and it wasn't even that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And so... I always, when I try and help people who have mother-daughter issues, you know, the first thing I always want to know is what's the percentage of good times versus that time when mothers are mothers.
Right.
Like, hey, I see this issue going on.
Right.
And if the daughter always feels like she is riding me all the time,
yeah.
then I go, well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because you have to have a shitload of fun stuff. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of neutral stuff, a lot of just hanging out.
Right.
So that when the other stuff comes in, right. it's you've already built a relationship on the good stuff.
Right.
Of like, hey, the namaste stuff, the light in me sees the light in you and acknowledges it, you know?
Awesome.
And that is not like, hey, you're an extension of me.
Right.
Better be this way.
Right.
A daughter doesn't know that need to hear that because it can't show up that way.
No, and also when you said... You know, you what it's built upon.
Right.
And I don't know how would this happen, but what we have is built upon. It's forged through years and years of living and truth-telling.
Right.
And
right.
Experience and not just good stuff.
No. Like during this Lyme disease thing, because we had been so productive before this occurred.
Right.
And we had some pretty major things in the fire pan that had to come to a screeching halt. You have had some emotional stuff come up mm-hmm. that has been, you know, not the same that has been 30 days ago.
Right.
You're not the same person you were 30 days.
I'm really not the same person I was 30 days ago.
Yeah.
I will be the first to acknowledge that.
Right.
Nor do I think I can go back from this.
Well, and that's the weird part, because I hope, I mean, like,
why?
Well, no. I mean, and not the weird part, because you go, maybe when this is all said and done, things will get back to normal.
Yeah, there will be a new norm.
Right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm forever changed by this.
Right.
I mean, I went to some places that I've never gone before. It wasn't very pretty.
Right.
For me. You know,
right.
And I've, you know, I've discovered, and I've had to relook and reflect on grace
mm-hmm.
and faith and the rawness and the humanity
right.
of life and the fragility
mm-hmm.
of life. And I've never really been comfortable, you know, I've had comfort in my uncomfortableness.
Right.
And maybe that's where I was when this all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no longer comfortable.
Yeah, you're just no longer comfortable in any situation.
No.
And consequently, you've had questions arise about your own life.
Right.
And how our plans have changed, or are they've changed, and mm-hmm. how do we address it all?
Well, also, because we were the dream girls.
Yes.
You know, 21 days to your 3 big dreams.
Right.
And, you know, we were doing conscious results. And,
right.
And I've had to plumb the depths of stuff.
Right.
And I don't know where any of that fits in there at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's got to be okay.
It's 100% okay.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways, I think that these life situations come up for us to look deeper into what really matters, I guess, Or not even that, because we've always known.
Because I've always thought that I, you know, I've always thought that I've looked at the deepest
things. You have. I mean, that's a problem.
But
I mean,
then not to think of one of my kids, you know.
Well, not just your kid. It's like your business partner, your best friend. And like, oh, whoa, my life. My goodness.
Confidant.
Right. My life.
Confidant.
Yeah. Your life depends on my life, because we're partners in a lot of things that we've done. And so not only did you care for a sick daughter, you had to deal with a lot of the other issues.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the absolute truth.
And then you
well,
this
was
horrible.
It's like losing, you know.
Just losing.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
It just felt like, and that's how I felt too. Yeah. Like, I just felt like, oh, I just was a big loser.
Yeah.
No. And how the hell did I track this into my life? You know. And,
but there's no, with what happened, there's no room for those questions.
They're pointless.
Those are times to ask. There are maybe better times to ask that question when you're comfortable.
Right.
You know, oh, how did I attract that into my life?
Right.
Because, you know, nothing explains. And you know, it's just.
And I feel blessed, because even though I was so sick, and I'm still dealing with the issues, and I know I'm going to get better. I know that I can have I will be recovered. Now, that doesn't mean
you can get better, but will you ever get back to normal? I mean,
maybe I can have a different norm. Maybe I have a better norm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But see, but you're changed.
Right.
This has changed you.
Sure.
It's changed me, you know, and we're still dealing with it. It's not like it's.
No, I still have brain issues, you know.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I mean,
spiritually, it has changed us.
That's what I mean.
Because
physically, we understand.
Well,
all of
because
that.
The last 3 years, we've dealt with other health crises, and then this year was my year to have the health crisis, and you're just like, when will this stop? You know, when will this stop?
And yet I've felt like, because we are as a team, we're together, you know, in some sense. Someone said that to me, boy, over the last 3 years, you've had your
share. Yeah.
But if you know, if you would have been, you know, like living in Alaska,
right?
And you know, and a lot of my friends, they're divorced, and so what if Dad would have been living in California, and I was living in Colorado? If we would have had these same things, it wouldn't have felt like, oh, well, what's going on with
right.
you
wouldn't
guys?
Been, yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
It's just, but because of the closeness,
yeah,
people get to talk.
Right.
They get to go, the witness, well, what's happening?
Yeah. What's happening? It's like the three
family.
Of you. Yeah. Well, that is an interesting thing, because
that's how I see it.
When you are.
Because one of my good friends, her daughter had a brain tumor.
Right.
And her husband had her ex had a heart attack, a very serious one. And she had surgery, and one of her other daughters had something, but because one's in the Dominican Republic,
right,
and one's here, and her husband's in Illinois, her ex is in Illinois, I didn't feel like, oh my God, you've had your share.
No.
But if they were all living in the same
house
street,
and
exactly.
And then each person would be a part of the recovery.
Right.
I mean, she obviously wasn't a part of her daughter's recovery very much, maybe like a week.
Right.
You know, and then came home because she had her own life.
Right.
You know, but because our lives are, I mean, and that is the
intertwined,
and that is that's the beauty. I mean, there is so much good by having close relationships.
Right.
I mean, very close relationships, and the opposite side of that is when shit goes down, you know, everybody's affected by it. You know,
but you know, I've learned. I may not look like it at this moment, but I've learned a lot.
You know,
and I was. Sleeping last night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and these words came to me, fully human, fully alive.
I'm like, interesting.
That is interesting. What does that really mean? You know?
Right.
And I really reflected on that when I, you know, and I go like, okay, those are four words for me, fully human, fully alive. And the idea, I'm still going to be working with it.
Right.
But you know, sometimes maybe we are not as well-rounded as we'd like, because we're like, oh, we're coaches. We want to see you succeed.
Right.
We want to see you get your dreams and all of this.
Right.
You know? But maybe we need to focus on the fact that, no, you're human.
Mm-hmm.
You're fully human.
Right.
And because of that, and you're alive.
Right.
So shit's going to happen.
Shit's going to happen.
Sorry, that's not pretty.
No.
It may be gritty.
Right. Know? Well, no, exactly.
And so I want to be able to reflect on the grace and the mercy within those circumstances.
Right. I mean, that's how I feel, too. Like, yeah. I'm focusing on the grace and the mercy. And what
and in the midst of feeling, hey, little motherfucker, that was pretty rude that you did something like that, you know?
Right.
And done, over with.
And over
know?
It. I said my piece. Yeah. You heard my piece.
Yeah.
Done.
In the midst of still being grateful
mm-hmm.
and experiencing the grace and mercy.
Right.
And all of that stuff. And I'm still not, probably still not scratched the surface of everything that went on with me, because I touched areas that haven't been really touched in decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
since my brother died, you know, was killed in a car accident.
Well, that's been a long time ago. That's a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, 30 years. I don't know. No, longer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ready for a little movie time? I had some more stuff to talk about. I wanted to talk about Russia. I wanted to talk about. I'm going to say one thing really quick about news. By the way, I love the song "You and Dead Are Riding." By the way,
oh, thank you.
Don't know how you did it, but in a love song, you wrote the words "fake news" in it. I love it. Awesome. But Mom, I will come in and see Mom. You know, and you may, as you're getting ready for the day, go back between Fox, CNN, MSNBC. You listen to all three,
mm-hmm.
and
I'm an equal opportunity.
You really
destroyer.
Are, and it does give you a weird. I mean. You do get like, what the heck's going on in the world? I don't know what's going
on. But I do get that. But wouldn't you say overall I'm able to hold that energy?
Yeah, and yes, you are.
Very well.
And so the one thing I would like you to watch would be Vice on HBO.
And I want to.
I love Vice on HBO because, first, they have little different stories that I think give more of a bigger version of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. They're able to go more in depth.
Yeah, they take little side stories like, wow, this is pretty interesting. But they were in Russia, and two Russian stories they did. One was global climate change and how a lot of Russians are like really excited about it. because they'll get warmer.
Okay.
Literally what's going on is their cargo ships, they can take, I think it's called the Bering Strait. I mean, whatever this northern route is.
The Bering Strait?
I don't know if it's Bering Strait or not. I'm not. But this northern path that's usually covered in ice, because it's not as covered anymore, mm-hmm. They can take this, and it saves them half the time of the ships, saves them lots of money, and more resources are being found now that getting slightly warmer in Alaska, or in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are very, very, very happy about this. Mm-hmm. And the other part, though, is that
that's newts.
Yeah. But the other part of this is that they're not that great on, environmental issues yet. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a copper mine, and they're not being cautious how they're mining it.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally... it's acid rain all around this one city.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, all the trees are dead because of the pollution. And so, I mean, it's just kind of crazy. So, we're living in this really interesting time. And if we could embrace, okay, we have climate change. We don't want it necessarily. Let's embrace it, but let's not cause more damage. You know, mm-hmm. let's be environmentally sound. And realize that, you know, and like, okay, this is changing. Now let's be environmentally sound.
And not just call it weather.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing about Russia, I guess they have a huge problem with domestic abuse. And they were interviewing this one woman whose husband had broken like her arms or legs, he would hurt his mom. He ended up going to prison for just 7 years for killing his neighbor, who was a female, because he couldn't find a cell phone. Really just crazy mentally.
Yeah, and this was okay until like about a year or two ago.
A year ago, Vladimir Putin put in place that domestic violence was wrong and it could be punishable by like 6 months of hard labor, a year. Pretty hard consequences for the first time for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, I guess people were up in arms by it. And this year, they decriminalized it mm-hmm. and made the consequences less for beating your wife and
community
your family.
Community service.
Yeah. You know? And I realized, oh my God, I feel so blessed that for the most part, we feel you can't beat your wife.
Right.
To broken arm. You know, you can't, you know, we don't, you know, as we grow, we're like, it's just not right to beat each other up, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to hurt each other. But they were interviewing this one lawyer who was, I guess, for the decriminalization of that. And he was saying that the majority of Russians believe in traditional family values and that it's just wrong to put emphasis on the man being put into jail for, you know, for beating his wife.
Because he's the head of the family.
Yes.
And they need him.
And I'm like, whoa.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Last night, was watching Samantha Bee. And she was talking about that this bill that's in New York, and it's been a bill trying to get passed since 2003, I believe. And it's a bill that says that you've been a victim of sexual abuse. You have 23 years in which to go back and sue the offenders who perpetrated the sexual abuse on you. And every year since 2003, the lobbyists or whatever gather enough whatever to not even get the bill into a to be voted on.
Right.
So she did a little more.
Right.
You know, and the two biggest organizations that are preventing this bill from ever being passed are the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I can see that.
And the Boy Scouts of America.
Holy Mother of God.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that to be true.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And she said that they're both afraid that if they don't get this passed, they will go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And Samantha said, maybe you should.
And get it cleaned up.
Clean it up.
Because
maybe start from scratch.
Yeah, because both the Catholic Church and the Boy Scouts undeniably have done some great things. And then they both have this shitty ass secret that has weaseled its way through all the good stuff mm-hmm. and it may need to be a huge cleansing mm-hmm. and go bankrupt, mm-hmm. whatever that means, mm-hmm. and then start fresh and then go, hey, we don't you know, hey, like, or maybe we let priests marry. Like, we have to get new people to come on board.
Yeah.
But every religion, every institution has a problem. Has some problem with sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And that needs to have a policy on how to be dealt with immediately.
Right.
And, like, not this secret.
Right.
But you're right. And I thought our Pope, the new Pope, I thought he was kind of, like, wanting to do something like that.
I think he might be.
And then there was, I don't know if this is true or not.
But this is interesting for me because as a young girl, you know, a young kid who went to Catholic school, many times I can remember one time that the nun came running down the aisle. I was at the last seat in the back of the class and I had no idea what was going on. It was art class. I was just coloring. And she hit me on the back so hard that I could not breathe. Have you ever been hit that hard?
Yeah.
And I thought, I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I got my head in the desk. I can't breathe. And I go, okay, I guess it's okay that I'm going to die because a nun killed me.
Right.
That was my thought. I was going to die. I didn't think I could breathe. Now, this was not I had that happen to me more than once.
Right.
Where either the Monsignor or a nun would.
So that's not even sexual abuse. That's just physical
abuse. No,
that's
just physical abuse.
Yeah.
But the idea that I could go home and then get beaten again.
Right. By telling. It was like.
Was by telling. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I can remember getting that I was. My grandpa had taken me to a bar and I was sexually abused. I was like 5 years old or something. I didn't even know what to call it. But when I came home, I said, this is what happened to me.
Right.
And I can remember my dad picked me up. I was in their bedroom on the second story.
Yeah.
And literally, like, threw me down from, like, picking me up over his head and throwing me down to the on a chair, like, you know, like, and I'm like, what did I do, you know?
Yeah.
And so you were physically manhandled. For
all the time.
Yeah, for whatever you did.
Well, and 23 years ago, I'm trying to think, this is current time, 23 years ago, we knew about all this stuff.
Yeah.
There should be no one committing these acts from 23 years ago on. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is...
I've always thought, I agree with you, but I've always thought, I wish we would train our children not just to identify this and to tell someone or stop it, but to also know how to get beyond it quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I hear some of these older men's stories.
Yeah.
And they're lost. Still.
Yeah.
They're 30, 40, 50 years
right.
old, and they're still lost by the sexual abuse. And I wish that we could have figured out and still figure out a way to heal that a lot quicker.
There has to be a way.
To not have
unless it's, maybe it means being treated like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder,
mm-hmm.
maybe being treated like that.
Yeah.
Because you're right, because it is, there is something sad about, because we all have them, not as severe as
right.
others.
Oh, yeah.
These
exactly.
events
right.
that if not put in its proper place,
right.
it could wipe out all the effing good.
Right.
And you're going,
because you don't
just
know what you don't know.
Yeah, it was just an event.
Right.
How can we get this event, which was horrible,
mm-hmm.
to not create this life of...
And or even if it was more than one
right,
event.
More than a...
Yeah.
More, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't either. I'm not...
Because
I don't know anything about
it. Because I think that a lot of parents, maybe in that era, did look the other way.
Right. Well, that's exactly right.
Because we were taught that God, that priests were God on earth.
Right. And 23 years, that's not that long ago.
They had up to 23 years
right.
from the event to sue somebody.
Right.
So
at this moment, it would be 23 years ago. And 23 years ago, we knew about Boy Scouts of America. We knew about the Catholic Church. We knew about these things going down.
Right.
And at that moment, it should have been, you know, stopped.
But it's interesting, though, that the Russians considered having the man, the head of the house, as that family value.
Yes.
But within that family values, you know, physical abuse and trauma is considered okay.
Yeah.
And that it's more important to have a stable family.
I don't even know.
I
yes,
don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And certainly growing up, there have been two or three times when things were just iffy, you know, out in the world. Like, if it would have gone further, it would have led to something else.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, and it didn't, because my radar was up, and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Whatever, you know.
Right.
But it's interesting because, so I feel blessed. I don't have those traumatic,
right,
in that respect. Those
right.
bigger, you know. I don't know. I mean, it would be wonderful if people smarter than me who focused on this trauma
right.
could help people faster.
Faster.
Because...
Or even as a young people, like, hey, this might happen to you. And here's what happens. Here's what you need to do if this happens. And here's what you need to do if you didn't do it correctly.
Right.
They've got to be, I mean, really get in there deep.
Right.
And teach these kids.
And if you're this and you feel like you want to do
not
this,
that it's your
don't
fault,
do it. No, not that
or,
it's your
or
fault.
Or that's your responsibility.
No.
But as
but how
a way
do you
to,
heal faster?
Right. As a way to somehow, heal faster.
Yeah.
Or give you some power. Because when I listen to these men, there was a woman to talk. They're so unempowered.
Right.
They're so lost. They're so powerless. And if there's some way that you can take your power back, you know,
right?
And even Norman was telling me that he was having a bad day on Friday, and things just degraded and got worse and worse. And he had like a 3-hour trip home, and he said for whatever reason he started having this vivid fantasy about somebody killing one of the members of his family and how he was going to get revenge
right.
on that person. and then he had this conscience where but God said, vengeance is mine. And so what should he do? And he was trying to figure out how he was going to get vengeance and still be forgiven.
Right.
And he had this, he said it was a 3-hour long fantasy until finally he got into Illinois and was
like, I feel better. I feel better. I worked out my crap. I feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I've had those days where you had these just long periods of driving.
That's, and isn't that true?
Like you're playing a game in your mind.
In your
mind,
in these long periods.
Yeah.
And usually it's about like you come home and your family's like been whatever. And you're like, what do I do?
How do I handle this?
Yeah. And like, you know, like Norm said, like I'll cut off an arm and then I'll wait till that heals.
So he has his whole process in play. Like he's.
I have a story about Norm.
Sure. We only have 5 minutes left of the show.
Oh, maybe I should wait.
Do you want to wait till tomorrow, next time? No, let's do it.
Okay. So Norm's, you know, going to Wisconsin, and he's doing some little bit different loads, and he's on like a tiny 2-lane road, and they're working on this road. But he's asked me to buy these headsets, a radio headset, and they look really, they're big and clunky. They're not like Beats. They're not like the cool ones. They're like Princess Leah.
Right.
And it's just like an AM/FM radio, but mostly it's for noise canceling as well, because he didn't have air conditioning for a while, and so it was kind of like that. And so he's driving down the road, and he's noticing that people are pulling off and getting out of their cars, you know. And he said that it was
getting out of their cars.
Getting out of his but he said what was interesting is because it was just like sunrise, and it was glorious, and he was listening to this classical station that he loves, and they just happened to be playing Ravel's Bolero.
Right.
And you and I both know the gloriousness of that song.
It's
when
great.
We were coming in from New Mexico and we were the mountains, and we were playing that song. So I understood exactly. And so he said he was lost in this song, and so he's just driving and he's got the big headphones on, and you know, people are kind of pulling off to the road, and they're kind of like, he said, like one person was pointing to his ears, like what's going on? And so Norm thought, oh, maybe they think my headset's cool, my headphones are cool.
Sure.
And so he was like, yeah, dude, you know, like I'm listening to Ravel's Bolero and stuff like that. And he's noticing that more and more cars are pulling off. And finally, he kind of takes the headsets off, and he realizes that there's an ambulance behind him. And he couldn't hear it at all.
Oh, my God.
And so that was
the story.
The story that I wanted to tell.
Oh, how funny is that?
But he said that when he got to this place, he was wearing his PJs, you know, that day. And the girls in
which
the office.
Which he loves to do.
And the girls in the office were saying, Norman, you know, you're wearing your PJs for us today. That's so great. And he goes, are you sure? He said, because my wife says no one will respect me by wearing my PJs. And the girl gives him a cupcake, and she goes, not us. We respect you more that you're wearing your PJs.
That probably made him feel good.
So I can just imagine him in his PJs wearing these big headphones.
Of course.
This, you know.
And then like making this ambulance going, why won't he pull over? You know, why won't he pull over? I'm not sure if Dad could even hear it if he didn't have his.
I don't know either.
I mean, you know. I mean, it's just, I don't know, you know.
And I have to describe his pajamas are camo.
Yes.
So they're camo PJs.
They're not satin or silky.
No, they're camo. And his big old Princess Leah headset's yellow.
Yeah.
Bright yellow.
So you ready for a little movie talk?
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
We only have like 2 minutes left for the show. That's why I'm saying
tell us about Spider-Man.
Yeah, real quick. Go see it.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
It was. I thought it was 2 hours and 40 minutes long, but it wasn't. It was like 2 hours and five
it just
minutes
felt
long.
Like that.
Well, I was grateful because I'm like, I is good. You know, like I said, I wasn't feeling. I mean, about an hour into this, I'm like, it's going to be a long 2 hours.
They say, though, that the webs that come out of Spider-Man's hands, like prophecy, or no, it's more like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Ejaculate.
Yes. Foreshadowing semen.
Yes.
Ejaculating
semen. Well,
is that true, Julie?
Yes, but he's already gone through the beginning part of it. We don't see him bitten. We don't see the evolution of how he finds out he's Spider-Man. He's Spider-Man, and he's living with it, and so forth. So it's not like the coming of age kind of thing.
Got it.
But what's interesting about it is that I think he's the same kid that played the kid in Fright Night, the one that came out like three
really?
Or 4 years ago.
Really?
Which I thought was a good movie.
Yeah.
So this kid might be 30 years old for all I
Whoa.
Know. But he has a really high voice and he's kind of small.
Right.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
What I would have to agree with, I heard one of our movie critics said that when Michael Keaton, who is the nemesis, which I'm not telling anything new, comes on the screen, he steals the show. And
well,
he
Michael
completely
Keaton, he's
does.
Like totally what, awesome right
what
now.
What I also thought was, who didn't steal the show, who I'm getting a little tired of, is Tony... Oh, God.
Goldwyn?
No, his character's Tony something. It's Stark. Tony Stark, which is Iron Man, mm-hmm. played by...
Robert Downey Jr. Can you imagine?
It's so flat. It's a one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of him being so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Yes, we know you're a billionaire times five.
Yeah.
And what I find very interesting is that typically there's always a heart pull of the creation of a new nemesis. And this guy was done wrong by the government. You know,
Spider-Man?
Michael Keaton.
Oh, okay.
Michael Keaton has a real true reason.
That's exactly right.
To have this.
Right.
To go bad,
right.
to go rogue. And he would never have gone rogue if he wasn't pushed. And,
he
loses his way.
The best villains.
Huh?
I think those kind of things make the best villains.
They do, because they're a full character.
Yeah.
And what you realize is that life is not just, you know, not just one-dimensional. And sometimes, you know, and he would say stuff like, which is true, like, you know, Tony Stark, do you know how he got that money? He sold weapons to these guys. You know, and I'm like, that's exactly right. And you know that in reality... you know that there's people out there who've amassed these huge fortunes
yes.
for only one reason.
Right.
But by...
doing something criminal.
Yeah. Or at least a little less ethical.
Yes.
Or did it help the whole big picture? I have no idea.
Speaking of the big picture, though, our little Sterling Theater, which has like
No, it has like...
Five?
Six?
Oh, five or six theaters, mm-hmm. Got recently bought out by AMC. And so now, instead of just having... snow caps and Hershey bars.
Yeah.
They
and
now
popcorn.
Have pizza.
Pizza and hot dogs.
Hot dogs and delicious, you said.
The pizza was awesome.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have time for dinner. And I'm like, let's just get a pizza. And we split it. And it said there's 800 calories in a whole pizza. And I'm like, well, then that's
Whoa.
Dinner for both of us.
Whoa.
We'll split it. And it was just a thin crust pizza, real crispy.
Uh-huh.
It was
Which
really,
is what you like.
I love. Sometimes you just want a thin crust pizza.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Good.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, AMC.
I'll give Spider-Man, not four Sherpa hats, but three.
I'll give him like three spider webs. Three, what are those things that
three
shoot
ejaculates.
Out of this? Three ejaculates.
Ew. Ew. 3 ounces. I'll give it 3 ounces. So forth. So, Jew, isn't it? Tyne Daly. I appreciated that.
What'd she play?
She played like the commissioner.
How'd she look?
Like an older woman.
Like an older woman.
Yeah.
Like herself.
I just thought, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate what
how
I see.
How did that happen? Don't you wonder how that happened? Because sometimes you see movies and they have the same characters in it that you saw in
yeah.
a different movie.
Yeah.
And then you look up on your IMDb, directed by the same man or produced
right.
by.
That's what I
say. They yes. network.
Real
Smart.
Quick, that's what I thought about Midnight Special, the movie Midnight Special, and
yeah.
Loving. I found it was directed by the same person because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm watching Loving, which was a good, quiet movie. I'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
And
you saw the same characters in Midnight Special.
Yeah.
And then you looked it up and...
Same director.
Yeah. So it's a...
Small world after
it's
all.
It's a small world. That's right. It's so, not your net worth, it's your network.
Exactly. Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to the ramblings of Christy Marie and Julie on Lyme disease. I am sure that I will be getting better and I'll be quicker.
We're going to track this, honey.
Exactly. All right, everyone, have a great day.
It was great. It was great. It was great.